This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon and happy Tuesday. I'm Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now, News Radio 1070 WINA. It's a picture-perfect fall day here in God's country, and I hope you're doing well, and I want to thank you for joining me. We do it every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 with the hope that perhaps you might get home a little smarter. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk a little Virginia politics with my friend Quentin Kidd at Christopher Newport University. We'll get the latest on cancer research from the good folks at UVA, and we'll talk with Richard Guy Wilson, architectural historian at the University of Virginia, the past, the present, and the future of Mr. Jefferson's University. It's pretty nice, isn't it? It's deluxe.
Did you hit the button? Am I on the air?
You are on the air. Brian Wheeler joins me live in studio, as he is wont to do on Tuesday afternoons. He is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. He joins us to talk a little growth, development, and local politics.
Coy, you've got lots of new buttons over there.
It's amazing. Yeah.
The studio looks great.
It is. I was trying to explain to somebody the other day. It's sort of the same, but it's also very different. It's all the buttons, they all do something different. And, you know, it's small market radio, so there's nobody in another room pressing the buttons for me. You got to do it all.
You're raising the bar. I'm going to try the show standing up. Are you standing up? I can't even tell.
I'm on a stool.
You're on a stool.
But we are in the, for a few weeks now, we're in the Z95 studios while they redo the WINA studios next door. And when that's ready, we'll go in there, and the table will not be like this.
It won't be raised.
Yeah, for the jocks, for the music jocks, yep. they do it so you stand. But for us in there, in talk radio, it'll be a low table. That'll be a bit much bigger over there. You'll have a lot more place for papers, and we'll be sitting.
Why do they stand and you sit?
I have no idea. That's a great question. We should ask Vince. Why is it that music jocks, disc jockeys, stand and don't sit? I don't know.
Well,
but that's how they built them. They all
looks
built
good
them all
after
them.
Watching all the renovations around WINA for the past how many years?
Oh gosh,
this looks really good.
It has
good.
Been going on for a while, hasn't it?
Looks really good.
Yeah, folks, you're welcome to stop by anytime. 1140 Rose Hill Drive, and look at this. It is really pretty. So, speaking of really nice and very cool developments here, I'm looking at a printout from the Vanderbilt University website, which talks about new signings. Some new players were signed to Vanderbilt University women's lacrosse team. And I think we know this young woman right here.
Where did you get that, Coy?
Who did bring me this?
Yeah, my daughter, Abby, signed last week with Vanderbilt. So she's a senior at Western Albemarle.
Way to go, Abby. Congratulations. Senior at Western Albemarle.
She'll be playing lacrosse at Western this
scholarship
spring,
to play lacrosse at Vanderbilt.
And then playing at Vanderbilt next year.
Good
so
for
she's
her.
She's very excited, and they were very nice. They put her picture on the webpage. So.
Is she excited?
She's very excited.
And Vanderbilt's good? Women's lacrosse? They're one of the top teams, right?
They're probably in the top 10.
Yeah, that's
I think they
fantastic.
Were number 11 at the end of last season.
She's got some guns on her, Brian.
Those are
Look at those arms on that young woman.
That's her 10th grade action shot. So.
Man. She's tough. I wouldn't want to run into her out on the field.
She looks scarier now.
She'd knock me down. Get out of my way.
Anyway, thank you.
Now, what is her position? What does she play?
She's midfield or attack. Midfield, attack, sort of both.
Oh, man. So she's the one that runs in there and scores.
She likes to score.
That's a tough game, too, lacrosse. Get that ball in your head, you're gone.
And women, you know, have a lot less protection. There are a lot more rules that regulate the play to keep it safe. So, for example, there's this crazy rule called shooting space. If a defender is in the line of your shot directly in front of you, you can't shoot.
Oh, really?
But you get a penalty shot, basically.
Huh.
Isn't that strange?
That is strange.
Anyway, lots of rules like that to keep it safe.
How old was she when she picked up a lacrosse stick and started throwing the ball around?
She was probably 4 or 5 when David Sloan was her first lacrosse coach.
No kidding.
David
Sloan. Formerly
Sloan.
Of Sloan's and now local realtor.
That's right. And David Sloan was a coach at the Seminole Lacrosse League. So Abby got exposed to Seminole Lacrosse in the summers. And, you know.
And here she is. Now she's a scholarship athlete to one of the top universities in the country.
And there were yesterday or last week when they signed, there were four other players from St. Anne's who signed from the boys team at St. Anne's. And I think two of them are going to UVA, one's going to Denison, and one's going to VMI. So last week was the big lacrosse signings. Yeah.
There you go. Good stuff. Now, speaking of schools, you and I are doing something with the schools coming up here in a few days, right?
Advertise a little pie baking contest here, Coy.
Yummy, 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 yummy.
Albemarle High School. They knew who to talk to about pie.
That's the truth.
And they called us. It's funny. My sister-in-law, Becky, keeps showing up with new pies.
Oh, really?
Either she's baking them or she's buying them. And it's sort of like she brings them to me and I have to try them, of course. You
know? Becky from Pennsylvania County, Becky?
Yeah.
There you go. Bring me some of those. What are those little things you brought back that they make down there?
Oh, yeah. Those oatmeal.
Oh, they're like oatmeal cookies stuffed with some kind of filling.
Cream stuff.
Oh, man. That'll put a
hurt
on you.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Midtown Market. That's where those are from.
The Midtown Market.
Albemarle High School, December 4th, Friday, December 4th, is having a pie baking contest open to the public. Anyone can enter this contest. And there's an application form on the Albemarle High School website. And you can just Google that, and I'm sure you'll find it, Albemarle High School. You can also come to WINA Studios and get a form. It's a $5 entry fee payable to Albemarle High School. And there's no limit on the number of categories you may enter. And this is all a fundraising effort for the Albemarle High School Drama Department. And I would encourage people to support that and enter a pie in the contest. Coy Barefoot is a judge. I am a judge, as well as the brand new principal at Albemarle High School, Jay Thomas.
There you go.
And here's some of the categories to be thinking about. Not categories, but the judging criteria. And my favorite part of this handout we got, Coy, it says at the end, good luck. All decisions of the judges are final.
I like the sound of that.
And here's apparently what we're judging on. Overall appearance and impression, 25 points. Consistency of crust topping. You've got the runniness, juiciness, or firmness, depending on the pie,
yeah.
Of course. The memorable quality of the pie. Are you impressed?
Mm.
So that all feeds into the 25-point category. And then taste, flavor, strength and balance, mouth feel. The appropriateness of the feel in your mouth.
Boy, they really put some time and effort into this.
Crust. Is it flaky, soggy, or unfortunately, mealy? I think that would be bad if it's mealy.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Makes me think of mealworms.
We'll have to Google that before we go. And then the aftertaste. Because you remember the aftertaste of that butterscotch.
I was just thinking, she better bake one and be there. Mary Jean Jaggers better bake one of them. What was that, a butterscotch pie?
Butterscotch
a
something.
A chocolate
something.
Butterscotch pie. It was phenomenal.
Anyway, the pie activities in Charlottesville and Albemarle are just growing.
Exponentially.
We had Seville Pie Down earlier in the year. We had Seville Pie Fest.
And there'll be a second. That's becoming an annual event.
And now we're going to have the Albemarle High School Pie Baking Contest. And there's prizes, ribbons.
And there's no reason this shouldn't be an annual event. Central Virginia, if we have anything to do with it, will be the pie capital of the Commonwealth.
And this is smart, Coy. They say if you're going to bring a pie, it must be in one of those aluminum foil pans. Pans will not be returned.
That is
Remember
smart.
What happened out at the Mud House? We had all those great dishes that people cook things in.
Yeah, but and they just left them.
Yeah.
Anyway. And we had a lot of pie left over. So
we hope people will go to the Albemarle High School website, check that out, enter your pie. Coy and myself will be happy
to. We will be there. And this is this Friday, December 4th at 7 p.m. I'll run over there right after the show and eat some pie. And this is all for a good cause to raise money for some kids at Albemarle High School in the theater department. And we're happy to help out. And our stomachs are joyous as well.
Sounds good.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler. He's the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SevilleTomorrow.org. We talk a little growth and development and pie every Tuesday afternoon. There's a big meeting coming up tonight, right?
Big public hearing. The Village of Urvana Master Plan. You may remember the County Planning Commission recently approved the Places 29 Master Plan. Now they're moving on to another one that is not complete yet, and that's the Village of Urvana. Most people know that as the area where Glenmore is located on 250 East. And the public hearing's tonight, so this is the opportunity for anyone in that area, or the entire county for that matter, to come and talk about what kind of plan we want for the future growth of the Village of Urvana. Now, of course, most of that development has been built and is Glenmore, but there's some major developments and parks to be added to that as we go. Infrastructure and traffic have been the two big issues, Coy, that the public has been providing feedback on recently. And also the sewer system out there. There's limited sewer capacity. So once again, Albemarle County is going to be challenged on the sewer front. And this, you know, the discussion around this development has focused on should there be limits to the amount of growth that's approved before the infrastructure is in place to support it.
Great question.
Whether it's sewers, roads, whatever.
Yeah, because you often find some decision makers will say, let's go ahead and approve it because I'm pro-growth, I'm pro-development, I'm pro-business. And then they tell them, well, we don't have enough sewage capacity or water capacity. And they're like, well, that's not my problem. We can deal with that later. We'll play catch up. And as we see, you can't always play catch up. You know, the county has approved a lot of projects that can't be built because the infrastructure is not there to support it.
The Virginia Department of Transportation, COI, has said that they need to widen Route 250 East to four lanes from Interstate 64 all the way to Glenmore.
Wow.
That would cost $16 million.
Wow.
And include some upgrades at the Shadwell interchange there.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's money they don't have right now. So, again, major infrastructure investments that have to be made to support growth. And in many cases, just like with Places 29, to support growth that's already there.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, too. It's already.
That is a very busy corridor, as anybody commuting in knows.
Does the Urvana plan involve at all more stoplights on 250? Do we know?
It will involve a stoplight at the Luckstone entrance. They're going to move the Luckstone entrance, and I think align it with Route 22. That's where that old store used to be on the corner, that little triangle. And they're going to align the Luckstone entrance with Route 22. That's expected to be a light in the future. In front of Glenmore, actually, what they're proposing is a roundabout on 250. So instead of a traffic light, we'll see which direction they go.
Now, that would be a first, wouldn't it?
Down the road.
On the old three-chopped road, the three-knots road, would it not?
Yeah, I would think so.
So then if they're getting one there, why can't we get one at Owensville?
They want one in Ivy, too, yes.
At Owensville. That's the most logical place for a roundabout. You know I'm a big fan of those roundabouts.
I know you like them. It's funny, Coy, we've been doing some research on Route 250 on the western side, and I asked people about that roundabout, and everyone seems to like that idea.
Yeah. And of course, for folks who don't know, this would be in Ivy, just past the railroad trestle, and past, what's the one on the left that goes to the other school?
That's Morgantown Road.
Morgantown Road. It would be just past that. Could be combined with that in a way, although maybe not.
But no, that was the idea, that Morgantown and Owensville would be realigned
to feed into a roundabout.
Yep. VDOT said they could squeeze one in there. It's tough because you got the railroad trestle and then you've got other businesses, Dooners, right there. So it's a tight squeeze, but they think they can get it in. In fact, I found the person who thought of this idea, Diana Strickler.
Way to go, Diana.
Was a member of the Route 250 West Task Force and also involved with Scenic 250. And she, you know, Sally Thomas said to them, hey, we need to think about the future of this intersection. What do you think? Diana Strickler said she was one of the people that said, hey, let's put a roundabout in there.
Yeah.
So we'll see which one comes first, Glenmore or Ivy, or neither for quite some time.
Now, speaking of stoplights on 250, UVA is putting in a new long-term care hospital on Route 250 up near the Volvo, and they're building that at lightning speed. That's really going in
it's
quick.
Big.
Is there going to be a light there? Because that's a huge hospital. How are they going to get people in and out of there without a light?
Good question. I think VDOT would say, as the needs suggest, I'm losing my words here, Coy.
As the needs.
The warrants. I was trying to think of a new way to describe warrants.
Yeah.
But VDOT has a list of criteria they call warrants. And as those are met, VDOT would say, okay, now we have to put the light in. Right now, I think the focus of the next light attention is at White Gables, which is further in across from Birdwood.
They're going to put one there too?
Across from Birdwood. They're going to align the Birdwood entrance with White Gables, and that's going to have a light at some point.
Wow.
So
we're looking at two new lights inside Broomley Road on Route 250 West.
Well, I don't know that anyone's planning on the one in front of the hospital, but I agree.
That's inevitable. If they're putting one in for a new condo development, I think they're going to put one in for a new hospital. Gosh, of course they would. That hospital's huge.
It's funny. You know, I asked people in doing this research what they thought about the traffic coming in on 250. So I'll ask you, or people should call in and tell me. I mean, does the traffic bother you, Coy? Would you rather see that road widened, for example?
Well, that's two different questions. First, does the traffic bother me? Because you know I live in Ivy. And the other morning, there was traffic backed up. I'm not kidding. It was backed up to, what's that, Bloomfield?
Yep.
Past that. So down the hill as you're going towards Wesley and the Anglican Church, it was like halfway down that hill. That's almost bumper to bumper to Ivy.
Was
just trying
accident?
To get into town. Nope. Just morning traffic. Now, it's usually not that bad, but it can be sometimes in the 8 o'clock hour. I try to get into town a little bit earlier, but it can be, you know, between 8 and 9 a.m., every morning, bumper to bumper. So yes, the commuter traffic getting in from the west on 250 in the morning is really bad. Trying to get into town. Do I want to see the road widened? No.
Well, if you look back over 7 or 8 years,
No, I don't. I think it's pretty.
The traffic in that stretch from, let's say, downtown Ivy to Route 29 has increased about 25%.
Wow.
So since 2001 to 2008, it's gone up about 25%.
I believe it.
Counts.
Yeah.
What I learned was, you know, the VDOT came to the community and said, hey, we want to widen 250. That was in 2000.
I remember that.
They unveiled a study and they said, that's our recommendation. And the community organized itself. Scenic 250 was a key part of that. And they got the Board of Supervisors to pass a resolution in May of 2000 opposing any future widening of Route 250 from the 29-250 bypass all the way to the county line. And that resolution stands, and that's what's been guiding the future of Route 250.
But if you continue to put development in there, you're going to see more red lights, you're going to see more bumper-to-bumper on Route 250.
Well, and that's what I asked people, and they said, you know what? We would rather deal with that traffic at rush hour and keep it a scenic rural road. And by the way, I-64 is right there. And they want to encourage people. The reason the public came forward in 2000, they said, hey, we've got I-64. People should be using that if you're in Crozet or Ivy.
I use that all the time to get to the valley. I drive the little twisty, curvy roads, Dickwood roads, to get to 64, to the Ivy exit.
Now, VDOT responds to that and says, you know what? I-64 was not built for commuters. It was built for people going long-haul traffic.
Oh, tough.
But they acknowledge that most of 250, this was in 2000, they acknowledge that most of the traffic on 250 was local. And if local leaders wanted to decide to constrict it to two lanes, they were okay with that.
I think the bumper-to-bumper in the morning is a small price to pay to keep that road as it is, to keep it really, really beautiful.
As I was asking people, that was the conclusion they reached as well.
Well, I'm in with the group. I like that. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. We're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather and continue this conversation on the other side. This is Charlottesville right now. Thirty-eight minutes after 5 o'clock, 55 degrees here in Central Virginia. I do hope you're having a nice Tuesday afternoon. I'm Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. We're talking local growth and development with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Now, Brian, remind us that public hearing tonight. For the Ravana Village. Is there actually a village there, or is it just Glenmore?
There will be a Ravana Village. That's one of the major development projects that will happen out between Glenmore and 250.
Like a shopping center.
The confusing thing is that project's called Ravana Village. The whole area is called the Village of Ravana, and it's the Village of Ravana Master Plan that is in front of the Albemarle County Planning Commission tonight, Coy. So it's 6 o'clock tonight in the Lane Auditorium at the County Office Building. The public can go and share their perspectives on this master plan. They've been working on it for about 2.5 years, And now it's about ready to go to the Board of Supervisors.
And the master plan includes the new stoplight, the new shopping center, all that kind of stuff.
It does. It's a, you know, as people have described these master plans, it's sort of like the picture on the box of a puzzle. It's the guide for the future. And any new projects that come along, a property owner wants to rezone their property, it will be measured against this master plan. The master plan is part of the comprehensive plan, but the master plan goes into more detail. So it says, here's a part of the county that's covered by our master plan, but because it's a designated growth area, we need to be very clear about what should go where, what types of development should go here, where should a park go, what's the best mix of uses, and how do we connect it all together?
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow here at 20 minutes before the hour of 6 p.m., Martha in Charlottesville, waiting very patiently on line one. Martha, you're on with Brian. You go right ahead.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I've been listening to you talking about 250 West, and I absolutely agree that it should not be widened. But I live out by the Boar's Head, and there are a lot of us who would like to have sidewalks going from town out to, at least to the Boar's Head, probably not much beyond that. But we would walk into town, and that would take some traffic off of 250 and give us some good exercise, and we would be quite happy to see that.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool to be able to walk into what's the Italian restaurant over by Sneaker Views?
Well, absolutely. Or, you know, into the gym there by Foods of All Nations, or just Foods of All Nations.
Yeah.
Or, you know, students at St. Anne's could walk from Edmund Forest. They could walk to school.
You could walk to Zazu's? You could walk to Zazu's or Arches?
Well, you could,
yeah.
I mean, it would be great, and everybody at Farmington would walk. I mean, you know, just put in a few sidewalks, get a lot of traffic off the road, and people out in Ivy would get in faster. And
that's a great point. It's a great point, Martha. Brian, has that ever been talked about?
It sure has, and in fact, it's on the priority list for Albemarle County. It's not at the top of the priority list, so right now it's not moving forward. There's not funding for it. People will notice that the sidewalks and bike lanes basically stop around the city line, for the, you know, closer in to the city of Charlottesville. And Albemarle County just has not had the funds in place to put bike lanes and sidewalks where they would be used. And I think with the growing number of uses on 250 West right there, close into the city in that urbanized area, that's very appropriate. I believe it's the fourth priority on the county's transportation list. The Meadow Creek Parkway is ahead of that. Widening parts of Route 20 is also above it on the list. But it's certainly something that's been talked about. And in fact, the University of Virginia approached the city and county and asked them to match some money that UVA was going to put in to help upgrade that corridor. They wanted to enhance it as an entrance to the university,
yeah,
into John Paul Jones. And
to where their visitor information center is. That's how they bring people in off the highway right there, exit 118B.
But as Martha pointed out, as traffic has increased on this corridor all the way from the 250 bypass all the way out to Yancey's Mill in Crozet, pedestrians and bicyclists are less and less inclined to use that road because it is increasingly dangerous with more traffic and faster traffic in some places.
Yeah. But I guess, Martha, they're not about to build those sidewalks anytime soon, seeing as how we don't have any money.
Well, you know what? Let's bump it up to the top of the list. It would cost less money than the Meadow Creek Parkway. We could get it in place, and we'd all walk, and we'd all lose weight, and we'd be happy.
I like it. Brian, is there any way that like a local government could say, okay, here's a pot, here's a project, and whoever wants to donate money, you know, above and beyond your taxes, where if you want to do this, anybody can do this, throw some money into a pot, we're not going to touch it, and it's just there for this project.
I think you can do that today. I think any taxpayer that wanted to cut a check to Albemarle County and earmark it for an improvement already on their list of priorities.
Yeah, that might be in your neck of the woods.
I'm certain they would accept your money.
I would throw, if they were talking about doing something in my neighborhood, and they said, well, we don't have the money to do that, but they had a kitty, I would write a check and throw some money in a kitty.
We are talking about millions of dollars. And so that's
I would
why
not write a check for millions of dollars, of course, but
but your next book, when it comes out, Coy.
Yeah, right. But, it's about a quarter till six. That idea might work. I mean, it might raise some money.
Martha raised a very good point. I'll go back to the master plan out in a village of Urvana at Glenmore, because if you have a master plan, it says as new development comes along, there are expectations about what developers will bring to the table in the form of proffers. and what sidewalks and facilities that they will build for pedestrians, for buses, for bicyclists.
Yeah. I would just hope that this urban development wouldn't go past the Boar's Head, wouldn't go past Volvo, you know, Broomley Road there, the Ivy
it's
Nursery.
It's not supposed to. And beyond that, but beyond Broomley Road, it's really rural countryside, and it's zoned for rural development. Now, you could have a property owner want to do by-right development on their farm. They could take a farm that's currently, you know, used for agricultural purposes. They could subdivide that, and they could have, you know, one house per 21 acres and build it out like that. Hopefully, you know, I think the county's strategic plan is not to have that happen. It's to incent property owners with rural land to keep it rural and not have development out there. That said, Ivy is the densest most densely developed rural area in Albemarle County. It's not intended for that. A long time ago, it was.
Which is why you have all those dense neighborhoods up off Owensville.
But it was removed from as a designated growth area, and so now it's not part of that 5% of the county designated for growth. Crozet is one of those other designated growth areas. Like Glenmore, it's sort of an island at the other end of 250.
Yeah. And they have a master plan as well, right?
They do, and now it's getting its five-year review. And there's an important meeting coming up. I'm glad you brought that up. Good segue.
Did you like that? Did you like that? Did you like how I did that?
Yeah, I was just, you know, keep me talking about 250. Thursday night at the Old Crozet School, and that's on the road that goes up to Whitehall from Crozet.
Yep. Well, it's a pretty road.
And the new Crozet Elementary is on the right. The
yep.
Old Crozet School is on the left. And at that place on Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m., there will be the next in a series of public forums related to the five-year review of the Crozet Master Plan. They're going to focus on downtown Crozet as this month's topic.
Dan Tan.
Downtown Crozet.
The new library, the future of Crozet Pizza. What's that grocery store?
I call it the IGA, but I think it's called True Value now.
True. I was going to say True Value, but I thought that was a hardware store.
Is that right? What's it called? Great Value.
Great Value.
Thanks,
Coy. That's it, exactly.
I always call it the IGA. You know, it just depends how long you've been living around here.
Yeah. I love that grocery store because, Lord knows, I go in there and I don't know everybody, but there are people who go in there who do know everybody. That is a true small-town grocery store.
A key element of the Crozet Master Plan when that was approved in 2004 had to do with reinvigorating downtown Crozet, having that be redeveloped and new life brought to the downtown Crozet.
Yeah.
It's been a struggle over the past 5 years as the community who's lived there a long time. And people break down into three different categories, sort of. You could ask them, you know, what do you think about growth in Crozet? And they could say, I never wanted it. I'm still opposed to it.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have made this a growth area. And those tend to be the people that have lived here the longest.
Right.
You have people that have recently moved here. Maybe they bought an older house. And they say, you know what? We're happy with the older house we have. We didn't want all this new development and traffic, and we were fine with Great Value. We didn't need
Harris Teeter. We moved out here because of the way it was.
Yeah. And so you have some newcomers saying, you know, we were okay with the way it was. That's why we picked this place.
Right.
Then you've got brand new residents moving in. They're finding houses that are affordable to them in designated growth areas like Old Trail, which has the capacity for up to like 2,500 new homes that have been approved or being done by right. So
then we'll talk about traffic on 250 West.
That will add a lot, but you would hope a lot of that traffic, if it's commuting, is going to get on I-64 at that point. And people will naturally make that decision. Do I go left to Charlottesville or do I go right to Charlottesville?
Right, right. Well, and it's not that far from Old Trail to the Crozet exit on 64. It's
mile. All of these issues, though, are being talked about in these public forums out in Crozet, and you can find information on the county website about the Crozet Master Plan and the next opportunities to participate.
And that Crozet Master Plan includes a new library. What's up with that? No money for that either?
Right now, there's the county is very challenged on its capital budget. They are not.
I've heard about that.
They are not expecting to spend any money over the next 5 years, except for maintenance and debt service. So any new projects that were in the queue are not expected to be started over
Isn't
the next
awful?
5 years.
Isn't that awful that we've got to this point as a country? Where we can't even build anything. We can't build new schools. We can't put sidewalks in our neighborhoods. We got to just hope and pray that some developer wants to come along and who's financed and wants to put in a neighborhood, and they'll build sidewalks for us. You know,
and of course, developers are not putting in neighborhoods either. Right?
Yeah, now. Yeah. I mean, it's just so sad that we've got to this point where we have all of these great things that could make this community even better.
Some members of the community and elected officials have said, hey, this is the time to be building because it's the cheapest.
Absolutely.
At which it's the cheapest point we could
build
the
Crozet Library. Home improvements, home building, any of that stuff. Now's the time to do it.
So there are opportunities, but it takes, as Bill Lettieri, who's the head of facilities for Albemarle County, I saw him say on the news recently, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to be doing these projects, but it takes money to actually do them. And right now he's saying the county does not have that money.
And then when everyone has the money to do it, the cost for that stuff's going to go through the roof.
Then everyone's doing them.
Yeah.
And it's harder to find a competitive bid.
Goodness. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online at seavilletomorrow.org. What else you got going on, Brian?
I wanted to follow up on land use. Land use taxation is that program in Albemarle County that is an incentive for people to keep their land in agriculture, open space, forestry, and you pay less taxes on the land that's in that program, and to the tune of about $18 million. So the Albemarle County does not recognize that revenue because it's got land that's being held to a lower tax value. Now, anybody that owns a house, say on a farm, Coy, you still have to pay the full rate on your house, on the improvements you made in the, you know, maybe an acre or so, less than an acre around that house. But for everything else, the hundreds of acres you may have in farm use, that you would pay a lower tax rate. That program, as you know, had a revalidation process approved by the Board of Supervisors, and a deadline is coming up. There was a filing deadline September 1st, and if you miss that deadline, the next deadline is December 5th, 2009. After that point, and actually at this point, you will pay a small fine. I think it's $125 late fee. But after December 5th, property will be removed from the land use program and have to pay 5 years of rollback taxes as if that property was not in the program.
Wow. Now, do we have any early numbers about how many people might get kicked out of that program?
It's actually pretty encouraging. Right now, 93% of county residents with property and land use have submitted the necessary paperwork. So 93% of the people have complied with this revalidation process. The county's looking over that material right now and making their decisions about who should be in or out of the program. There are expected to be some casualties, I guess we would say, property that will be taken out of the program. And that property owner will have to make some tough choices about what they're going to do in the future. But Albemarle County is expecting a little bit of revenue to come in for those properties.
Where's that money going?
They're budgeting that.
Sidewalks on 250?
That will go into the general fund and will help with the rest of the economic crisis that they are facing.
Like dropping a few drops of water in the ocean, you know?
But it's a small amount of money they're expecting to recognize. In general, I think the program has been a hit with taxpayers because a lot of people have always said, oh, you know, it's the land speculators that are just taking advantage of the system. They're not really doing anything agricultural. They're not planning to harvest the forest. They're just sitting on it until they develop it.
Yeah.
That is true in some places, especially in a designated growth area.
Yeah.
They are sitting on property waiting to develop it. But within a designated growth area, that's what's supposed to happen, right? At some point in time, that parcel is expected to be developed.
Yeah, so, but it wasn't supposed to get a tax break, you know, that others are taking to keep their land rural.
Well,
see what I mean?
It's sort of the nature of the program, though. So take Biscuit Run, for example. Biscuit Run, huge tract of land. It's in a designated growth area, but it was certainly enjoyed for its rural beauty today and in recent history. But now it's been sold and is expected to be developed. But until that development, now that the rezoning has happened, I assume they're paying the full rate on that. But before the rezoning happened, you know what? They got land use taxation. So you can't treat land, because of state law, Coy, you can't treat land in the designated growth area different from land out in the rural area. That frustrates a lot of people.
Yeah.
But in general, I think what we're waiting to hear is how many people were taking advantage of the system. And with this revalidation process, people have had to put on paper what they're doing with that land, and we'll know soon.
What's this about a new park on Rio Road? We got about a minute left.
It may sound like a park, Coy, but it's actually a development.
Oh, so it's the name.
It's called Treesdale Park.
See, the irony of it all.
You fell for that.
It's not really a park, you see. It's another neighborhood.
It's in between Stonehenge and what's the other lane? Town Lane. Sort of across from the Catholic school.
Yeah.
You know where that is?
Yeah.
Rio. So inside of where the Meadow Creek Parkway and Dunlora will
a new neighborhood going in.
Treesdale Park, 88 units, multifamily community. It's affordable housing, Coy. So this is a special development being done by the Albemarle Housing Improvement Program. And it's was approved back in December 2007, and now they've got a site plan coming through the county. So that was approved. And, you know, it's going to put on more vehicles on Rio, certainly. But one of the plans, of course, is to have the Meadow Creek Parkway in place to alleviate some of that traffic heading towards the city.
There you go.
Or at least redirect it to another place in the city.
How's the county? Are they still building their portion of it up there? Are those bulldozers still running?
That's moving along. Faulkner Construction is busy from that point at Dunlora and K-Tech.
Yeah.
A lot of the activity right now, Coy, that you can see as you drive through is they're rebuilding the bridge over the Norfolk Southern Railroad tracks along Rio. So eventually there'll be an expanded bridge there and traffic will be moved onto that new bridge.
Good fun. This and other stories available online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.